Hello and welcome to the Divorce to Bliss podcast. Here you will learn all things related to healing from divorce, mind, body, and spirit, so you can create a beautiful new life filled with happiness. I'm Rachel Ruby, author of Divorce to Bliss, divorce coach, speaker, and attorney, and I'm so glad you found me here. Hello and welcome to the Divorce to Bliss podcast. I'm Rachel Ruby. If you are joining me on YouTube, please subscribe, turn on notifications, like, comment, and share so I can continue to bring you more great and information-packed episodes related to your journey from divorce to bliss. Today, I'm going to be talking about planning versus action in your healing journey. And I thought this was an important topic because I speak with a lot of people who get stuck in that planning phase. And the first thing we have to remember is that nothing is going to change in your world, in your life, as you are going through this experience of divorce or after divorce and trying to heal yourself unless you take action. So planning is a wonderful, easy thing to do. And a lot of people love the planning phase because you can write down your dreams, you can visualize your dreams, you can just have all these great ideas as to what you want your life to look like after divorce and after you've gone through the healing process. And those things are all wonderful. We need to visualize, we need to manifest, we need to, think about it and write about it and really see it and feel it and experience it as much as we can with our imagination, because that is a big step in how we get to manifest all those things and make them happen. But it is important to do the healing work because that is the action. So we're going to talk about why we need to do the healing work and how we get there so we can start taking those action steps so we can actually see some changes happening within us and within our lives. So first I want to talk about understanding why we need to take action. And I alluded to that a little bit, but it is important because if we get too stuck in the planning of everything and we're not making the changes inside, eventually we're going to start feeling really down again. And a lot of people will go into that victim mode because they have all these great ideas and they get super excited. And it's almost like, you know, you took this happy pill for a moment and then you don't see the changes, and then they start getting afraid again. So it's so important to know that it's called work because the healing work is called work because we need to actually do it. And there are so many different steps to the healing work. And if you are somebody who regularly tunes into my podcast, you know that there are different modalities and different things that you can do to help yourself heal. And not everybody needs to focus the same amount on certain aspects. And that's why sometimes if you don't know yourself well, it's important to get help so that you can devise a plan that you can stick to and you have someone to hold you accountable for the steps that you will be taking to actually do the work. Because I guarantee you that if you do that work, you are going to start to see some changes, right? So another reason why we need to do the work and not just plan is because when we just do the planning and we get excited about that and we keep saying, well, I'm going to keep planning and planning until I'm ready to start doing the healing work, we are stalling, we are postponing the inevitable. And that usually comes from fear. So a lot of people are afraid of changes and differences, and divorce is a very scary thing to go through. So that fear is usually there for many people. And if we kind of put it off and try to keep doing the easy part, which is the imagining the life that we want to lead and trying to, see it and feel it, those things are easy. It's easy to have a dream, right? But until you start doing the action, you're not going to make it happen. And you can apply this to anything. You can apply it to Elon Musk, who used to live out of his car and shower at the YMCA because he didn't have any money. And look at all the steps he took to build his businesses and how successful he is now. And again, that is totally different from divorce healing. But my point is that this idea that you have to do the action and not just plan can be applied to anything in your life. So if you do the action here to heal from your divorce, you will be so much stronger and you will be able to do this same thing when something else comes up, whether it's a job change or a big career decision or anything else. So we need to get moving. We need to get doing the action. Now, planning is a great tool and it's a necessary tool, but they kind of, you know, go together. And so we want to focus on both, but more so on the action and making a plan, making almost like an outline. If you do when you're a student and you outline a chapter, it's great because that will help you study, right? Well, here we're going to make an outline. We're going to make a plan for our life moving forward from divorce so that we can take those steps to be ready for the final exam, right? Which is ending up in this new life that we are so excited about and can be happy about. And also, it's important to keep in mind that even when we get there, even when we get to that new life, there will still be decisions we have to make. There will still be things that we have to change or redevelop, recreate. And that is life. Life is always full of challenges and we have to be on our toes and ready to make changes and constantly evolve. So even though we get to a point where we feel like we are healed, the healing journey is going to be with you for the rest of your life. And I don't say that so that it's daunting and scares you, because you will get to a point where you will start to see these incredible changes in your life. And you will start to realize that you've healed so much and you will start to attract the right people to you, whether they be friends or relationships, if that's what you choose to have, love relationships. And you will start to notice that things in your life are going much better because you have changed your thought processes. You have learned to let go. You have done all kinds of things that have taught you, how important it is to take action. So know that you can get there, and it is so important to do that work and plan. And also know again that the planning is going to evolve just as much as the work might change as you are doing it. And you might pick one thing or one topic of healing and start going down that road with it and changing and morphing and doing whatever you need to do to, you know, whether it be letting go of something or changing your mindset, and you might start doing that thing, and that could lead to something else entirely, which is another tidbit or another item that you need to work on. And so that is what the healing process is all about. So let's talk about small steps. And small steps are really important because that is how we go through the healing process. Obviously, if you were to read my book and you were to see all of the different things I talk about in relation to healing, you would get some great ideas and you might get excited, but you also might get overwhelmed. So there's a way to tackle these things. And again, that's why sometimes it's really great to get some help to make this plan. Once you have a plan, you can get to work. So let's look at some of the small steps, and maybe by taking some things that I've discussed in prior podcasts and in my book and trying to break them down. So for example, letting go. Letting go, if you watch that podcast on letting go, it involves several different things. It's not just kicking a person out of your life. And most people think when they hear letting go, they think that's what it is. So let's focus on the letting go of people. If we start doing healing work to realize and look at who is in our life, who is in our support network, those who love us and truly support us, then we might come to the realization that there, let's say, for example, Aunt Sally is not truly supporting you because every time you speak with her, she gives you advice or tells you what to do, what you should do, what she thinks you should do. And although this is coming out of love, it's more important for you to figure out what you should do. So we want to start thinking about, in that case, the people who are in our lives and how we feel when we talk to them. And if we feel really great and they're supporting us and, you know, being a cheerleader and saying, hey, you know, we want you to go all the way and we're so proud of you, Rachel, and, you know, you're going to make the right decision, that's great. And if you ask them their advice on something and they kind of say, well, you know, this is what I've heard of other people have done, but you need to do you. That's the perfect support person, right? So if we have someone who is bringing us down every time we talk to them, telling us how we're doing things wrong or how shameful it is to get divorced or, you know, making us feel bad inside, that person probably isn't the right support person. And if you watch my podcast on support networks, there's a lot more information on what to do about this. We don't just tell that person, sayonara, or you're out of my life. So what we need to learn is how we're being affected by someone who doesn't make us feel good. And so let's say we've determined that there is someone who doesn't make us feel good, and we are thinking about cutting them from our support network and letting them go. So this could be a step in the right direction, but it's an end result. The small steps in that whole process are really learning about yourself and how you feel with this person, when you talk to this person, when you're with this person, how you do you feel happy? Do you feel positive? Do they support you making your decision? So those, all of those steps are kind of the small steps before we get to the end step, which is whether or not we decide to let them go. And that's kind of a difficult one because there are many ways to let people go. And before we actually do that and say, hey, I need time away from you, there are other steps that we can take. So if you want more information on that, please watch the Letting Go podcast and also the Support Networks podcast, because they'll give you some great ideas on how to do that. But the small steps, again, is what we're focusing here today when we're talking about planning versus action. So the action is really feeling what you think, what you feel inside your heart, no matter what you're talking about, whether it's letting go, whether it's someone who's supporting you. Let's talk about, let's say, unhealthy patterns. And many of us have unhealthy patterns. In fact, most of us do. And we need to realize what those are when we're going through the divorce healing process, because it will allow us to change those patterns and change our actions so that we can turn them around. And a lot of that work has to do with what goes on up here in your thought processes and how you view something. So the baby steps or the small steps in learning about the unhealthy patterns that you may have would be in recognizing them. So there are, again, ways to do this, and there's a whole podcast on this, so I'm not going to get into them. But my point is that before we make the big decision to, let's say we discover we have an unhealthy pattern and we just say, okay, I'm going to stop doing that. Sometimes it's not that easy and we have to take small steps in order to get there. So recognizing is going to be the first step, and there are many ways that you can get there. And again, that is part of the healing work. So it is taking action. So in any of the healing steps, and some that may not even be in my book or that I may not even have talked about in a podcast, because it may be very specific to you and your needs in your healing process, some of those things will come up with the right coaching, the right direction, the right therapy, whatever it is you choose. And that's why sometimes it's really great to have someone on your team to help you and keep you on track, so that you don't slip back into those doldrums, because that's really easy to do. And when you are taking the action in your healing process, sometimes things just feel so hard and you get stuck and you kind of put the healing work on hold. And that is 100% normal. It happened to me. It happens to my clients. It happens to pretty much everyone who's going through the healing process. So, and you'll doubt yourself and you'll have, you know, thoughts about what am I doing and can I even do this? So the small step is to obviously know that you can, and many people have, and you are just as capable. And so if you're having doubts about that, then that is a self-esteem journey. And that is a big part of the healing journey, because that will help keep you out of that victim mode and move forward. And then lastly, I wanted to talk about overplanning. And I mentioned this a little bit in the beginning of this podcast, but again, it is so easy to get enmeshed in the overplanning phase because you are excited and thinking about how all these things are going to turn out when you're done healing is so much easier than actually doing the healing work. So we don't want to overplan, because that keeps us stuck in the planning phase where we're not moving forward. And so in order to move forward, we want to, again, make a plan. We want to write the plan down. We want to create the steps that we need to take, or the subjects that we're going to work on, the topics that we're going to work on in our healing journey. So for example, like I said, if you know that you need to work on your self-confidence, then that could be one of your topics. And so you want to make a list of these things that you're going to work on. And then once you have that list, you are going to pick one. And I would suggest, a lot of people don't want to dive into the most difficult one. And that's okay. You can start with something that might be a little bit easier for you, but whatever it is, you want to really start thinking about that thing. So again, we want to plan, and we want to have a viable plan that has steps. And each of those steps is going to have a lot of sub-steps. So in the beginning, we want to just make a general outline, which is our general plan to the healing process. And then once we get into each, we may not know what all those steps are, but once we get into each topic of healing, we're going to know what the smaller steps are, and we're going to be able to fill in that part of the outline and make it more detailed. And then we'll know how to work on each part. And so that is the efficiency of starting big with the planning and then delving into something and then getting really detailed, so we have all the small steps to take. And that might be really hard for you to do on your own. That is why people like me are here, to help you in your healing journey. So start with that, start with a plan and dive deep into it. See what you can come up with, write it down, pick something important to start to work on. Don't focus too much time on the planning phase. Get really deep and nitty gritty into that subject and narrow it down, break it down into small steps, small chunks, and then go through those one at a time. And stop and evaluate after each small step to see how you're feeling. Write it down. Keep track of this, because it's really important, as I've always said, to look back at your journal so you can see where your healing journey is going and how it's progressing, because that gives you a lot of confidence in and of itself, so that you can move forward on this trajectory of from divorce to bliss. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. And hopefully this has been helpful in teaching you planning versus action in your divorce healing journey. I'm looking forward to seeing you on my next podcast.